Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Siddiqui, we can get started.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So inshallah, we will be studying some ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah. We'll study first ayah number 188 from the section 23 that we studied last week. And then we'll go to section 24. You may remember that the discussion was about fasting, the objective of fasting, the purpose of fasting. And then also some rules of fasting were given. And then at the end of that, this ayah number 188, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about abuse of each other's money. So we'll discuss that, why that this ayah comes in that context. So let us begin. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإسم وأنتم تعلمون. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the compassionate, and devour not your wealth falsely among you, nor proffer it to the judges so that you may devour a part of people's wealth sinfully while you know. So ayat before this ayah, we're talking about fasting. And fasting especially in the month of Ramadan. And you may remember before that in the ayah number 182, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the will that somebody who is dying or who died and left a will for his family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you must not change the will. And then of course the rules came, rules of inheritance. So that means rules of inheritance should be followed as they are mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. And then also will. And you mentioned before that the will is within the 1/3 now. So not more than 1/3, but less than 1/3, 1/3 or less than 1/3. So that could be a will. And this is the way to observe how to distribute the wealth among the family members. And then came the rules of fasting. And in the fasting, Allah's mother mentioned that you should not eat at certain time, and you start your fast at certain time, and then after that do not eat, do not drink, and until the sunset. So fasting in a sense tells you what time you stop eating and what time you start eating. So you regulate your eating. And of course we have the rules of what we can eat, what we cannot eat, what we can drink and what we cannot drink. So it is not only this, but these things, these rules teach you that there are other matters also in life in which there are things allowed and there are things that are not allowed, especially money matters. So wealth within the family or outside, amwalakum, your family, your wealth, or could be somebody else's wealth, amwalunnas. But the point is that you should not also eat up other people's money, as you do not eat up the haram food at haram time in the month of Ramadan. In a similar way, don't eat up other people's wealth in wrong ways. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. So among yourself, try to observe that every person has his or her money, and his or her money should be used in the right way. Bil batil, falsely, means by cheating, by deceiving, by taking over other people's wealth by force, by deception, by fraud, stealing, all of these things are included. Batil is everything that is false, everything that is forbidden, everything that is haram. So do not do that. It's not just food that you should not eat at some time and not eat. Like a lot of people observe that. There are people who observe fast. But when it comes to the affairs, the mu'amalat, the dealings, especially money dealings, then they are not very careful. So they take up other people's money, other people's rights. So you are observing fasting. Now observing fasting, you should learn that also you are not supposed to take other people's rights. So you can see that the beautiful way of Quran teaches you certain ibadah, certain act of worship, but also takes you from the ibadah to your life. Ibadah is supposed to reflect in your behavior, in your actions. You pray, and prayer does not mean you just do the ritual, but also the prayer should forbid you from wrong things. As-salat tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The prayer forbid you and prevent you from shameful deeds and evil deeds. So in a similar way, fasting should prevent you, protect you, and forbid you from misappropriating other people's money. So don't eat the haram food. Don't eat the food at the time you are not supposed to eat during the fasting time. In a similar way, don't eat up other people's wealth with false pretensions, in false ways. And one of the false ways is also that sometimes people take the money of other people and then they try to justify it by going to the courts and to going to the judges and taking the decision in their favor by wrong cases, by wrong lawsuits. وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ. So sometimes people take other people's property, other people's wealth, by taking certain decisions through the courts. So they find a good lawyer, a smart lawyer, and pay him money, and this way they can make the judgment in their own favor. Or sometimes in some places, people also bribe the judges. Take the money and give it to some of the judges, and in this way, take the decision in their favor. لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ. Bribery, and the Prophet ﷺ said, الرَّاشِي وَالْمُرْتَشِي كِلَاهُمَا فِي النَّارِ. أَلَعْنَ اللَّهُ الرَّاشِي وَالْمُرْتَشِي. The one who gives the bribe and the one who takes the bribe, both of them, Allah's curse is upon them. People give the rishwa, give the bribery, so that they take away other people's rights. And also, if somebody has a good lawyer who makes a strong case in his favor, even though it is false, and then the judge makes a decision, but it's the decision is made by the judge, but the person knows that it's not, the money is not his. As Rasulullah said in one of the hadith, he said, you bring to me the cases, and sometime one person is more articulate, pleads his case better than the other person. Maybe it's not his right. And I may be influenced by his talk and make decision in his favor, but it is something that does not belong to him. If I give something to someone that does not belong to that person, then I'm giving him a piece of hell. So, قَضَاءُ الْقَاضِي لَا يُحِلُّ حَرَامًا. The judge's judgment will not make the haram halal. Something that is not yours cannot become yours by the decision of the judge. I mean, in the worldly way, we can take it, you can take it, but on the day of judgment, it will be a piece of hell. Because this, you know, it is not your money. So do not take, even from the courts, even through the judges' decision, do not take other people's wealth, or do not take other people's rights. So haqq is haqq, and haqq remains haqq, and batil is batil. The falsehood is falsehood. وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ. So you take away other people's money sinfully by doing the acts of sin and knowingly, deliberately. It is not by mistake, but it is something that is happening through knowledge. So this is a very important point. After telling that you fast at certain time and the purpose of fast is to teach you taqwa, now you apply it, especially in your money dealings, in your rights of each other. So that is the point. And then after that, we come to the decision, to the discussion about Hajj and certain other matters related to that. So now we'll discuss the issues of Hajj, and especially if you want to understand the context of these ayat, the context was that Muslims were living in Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca, and the mushrikeen, the non-believers, they were against the Prophet ﷺ, and they were persecuting the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, and the Prophet himself, and they were almost wanted to kill the Prophet ﷺ. So they migrated from Mecca to Medina. So they expelled Muslims from Mecca, and they had to take refuge. They had to migrate from Mecca to Medina. And even in Medina, they attacked them. And they were trying to see how they can uproot them from Medina. So Mecca was under their control, and they were not allowing Muslims to come and make Hajj and Umrah. Hajj and Umrah existed even before that, for centuries, from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, long before the Prophet was born. Centuries before that. So Kaaba is there. Kaaba was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam, by his son Ismail alayhi salam, and it was honored by the Arabs all that time for centuries and centuries. So there was Hajj and there was Umrah, and Islam allowed that. Islam said, yes, there is Hajj and there is Umrah. So Muslims were expelled from Mecca and they were not allowed to go back to perform the Hajj and Umrah. So Islam says, yes, do that. But before that, the issue came, how we go there? Because that was under the control of the pagans, the mushrikeen. So the first is the issue of when to perform Hajj, when to perform all these rituals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yas'alunaka anil ahilla. Yas'alunaka anil ahilla. قل هي مواقيت للناس والحج وليس البر بأن تأتوا البيوت من ظهورها ولكن البر من اتقى وأتوا البيوت من أبوابها واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. So Islam has to correct some of the superstitions that people had before Islam. And this correction is here. So they ask you about the Ahilla. Ahilla is the plural of Hilal, that is about the new moon. So people came to the Prophet ﷺ and they asked him about some of the things people used to do, that they used to consider certain dates as unlucky dates and some dates as lucky dates, some month as lucky month and some month as unlucky month. Arabs had that. And many other nations have that, many other cultures have that. So they have lucky time and unlucky time, good omen, and you take bad omen from certain times. So in a similar way, they say that. So they ask, what do you say about different months? Ahilla is, Hilal is the the crescent that appears, and hilal is also used to mean the months, so new moons and all the new months. So they ask you about that. Sahaba were asking, some of them may ask that, and some other people may have asked that question, that what Islam says about that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrected them and said that the hilal is a way to set your dates. Mawaqit linnas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this hilal in the sky. It is so that you can make your calendar. So it is a universal calendar that is fixed in the heaven. Qul hiya mawaqit linnas. Say it is the marker of time. So this hilal come, and it is very sharp edge, and then after that it grows and grows and becomes full hilal, and then it start decreasing, and then disappears, and then again another one comes. So in this way you can count your time. So it is a marker of time for everybody. Qul hiya mawaqit linnas, for all people. So whether the people are China or India or Africa or Arabia or Europe or America, any place, it is the same hilal. And by that people can set up their time. So mawaqit linnas, these are the signs, these are the markers of time for people, for mankind. And then also those who are in Mecca, those Muslims, they can set up a time for Hajj. And that is in the month of Hajj, people perform Hajj that way. So your Ramadan, your Eid, your Hajj, all of this you can set through Ahilla, through the moon's appearance and disappearance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is nothing called auspicious time, and there is something called a unfortunate time, unlucky time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Ahilla as a sign. So Ahilla are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no need to have any superstitions about that. Set up your time for any other program that you have, and then also for Hajj. And the other superstition was that they used to go Hajj, and then if they have left their home, and for any reason they have to go back, they would not go back from the front door, from the main gate, but rather they will go from the backside. And similarly, when they come back from Hajj or Umrah, they would not come from the front door, but rather from the back door, from the backside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they used to consider that as an act of piety, the act of religious, it was a religious thing. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهَا. The piety is not that you come to your homes from the rear side, from the back side. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى. The bir is that you be pious, you be righteous. That is the bir. So there is no virtue in entering the home from this side or that side. The virtue is to obey Allah, to fear Allah, to be conscious of Allah. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى. Piety is of the person who is mindful. And as we mentioned in the ayah number 177, Allah says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ. The birr, the piety, is not that you turn your face towards the east or towards the west, but the piety is that you believe in Allah. The piety is one who believes in Allah. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ. In a similar way, here it says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى. The bir is the person who has taqwa. So that is that personality, that character is the character of bir. So bir is the righteousness, the piety is the piety of the person who has taqwa. And then Allah says, go into your homes from their doors. There is no need to think that we must go and somehow break the wall, enter the home from the backside, or climb over the fence. Go, whatever the doors are there, use the doors. There is no piety in doing that. This is an unnecessary thing. It is a superstition, and leave it. The piety is not which door we enter. The piety is that we are conscious of Allah. Wattaqullah, and have the taqwa of Allah, la'allakum tuflihun, so that you become successful. So very important point mentioned here. First of all, ahilla, the crescents, the new moons, they are to set up your time, set up your calendar. Ya mawaqitu linnas, and to know the date of Hajj. That is the purpose. And also, when you go to Hajj, when you go to Umrah, be mindful of Allah, have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it does not make any difference whether you go from this door or that door. You don't have to climb over the fence or go from the rear side, no, any side. وَأَتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and have the taqwa of Allah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you become successful, so that you may prosper. Now, we come to the point Kaaba is under the control of the pagans, the mushrikeen, and they were not allowing Muslims to go there. Actually, they expelled Muslims. It was not allowed to Muslims to fight. But when they expelled them, and when they even came, started attacking Medina to uproot Islam and Muslims, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to fight. So there are two words in Islam. One is jihad and the other is qital. Jihad literally does not mean fighting. Jihad means a struggle. And jihad could be through teaching, through negotiation, through agreements, persuasion. So jihad could have different ways. And jihad is also jihad of nafs, that one is struggling within one's soul against sin, against corruption, and trying to keep up on the right path. But qital is the fight, qital is the war. And qital is from qatala yuqatilu. Other person is fighting, so you are fighting. So qatilu means that because they are fighting you, so you fight them. Not because you start the fight. Islam has rules of fighting. So Muslims were allowed in Medina to defend themselves. So Allah says, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَخْرَجُوكُمْ وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ وَلَا تُقَاتِلُوهُمْ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ حَتَّى يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِيهِ فَإِنْ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوهُمْ كَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ فَإِنْ انْتَهُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Fight in the cause of Allah against those who fight against you, but do not transgress. Truly, Allah does not love the transgressors, and slay them wherever you come upon them, and expel them from where they expel you. For persecution is worse than slaughter. But do not fight against them near the sacred mosque until they fight against you there. But if they fight you, slay them. Such is the reward of those who reject faith. But if they cease, Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. So, qatilu fi sabilillah, fight in the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah. And the fight in the way of Allah means that is for the right cause. But Allah has allowed, not for your own gains or for your name and fame and all of these things. No, qatilu fi sabilillah, for the cause of Allah. And the cause of Allah is the cause of justice, cause of defense. So qatilu fi sabilillah, so fight, get involved into the fight, into the battle. So that permission is given, but only those who are fighting you, not go and start attacking people and killing combatants and non-combatants, everybody. No, only those who fight you, you fight them. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. And don't aggress, don't do aggression. Don't go beyond limits. So i'tida is forbidden. Aggression is forbidden because Allah does not like that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. If someone comes to fight you, you have a right to defend yourself, protect yourself. Protect yourself whatever way is possible. And if it requires to engage in the battlefield, then you can do that. But again, try to avoid aggression and transgression. Allah does not like transgressors. Allah does not like people who do aggression. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. And these people, اُقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ سَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَخْرِجُوكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here about the people of Makkah, the non-Muslims of Makkah, the mushrikeen of Makkah, that they fight them in the battle, wherever you find them, and also expel them from where they expel you. So they expelled Muslims from Makkah, which was their home, their place where they were born and they were raised, they expelled them. So you can expel them as they expel you. And the persecution is worse than slaughter. Persecution is worse than killing, because persecution makes the life miserable. A lot of people suffer because of that. So that's why it is allowed. When people are expelled from their homes, when their property is taken, you know, Islam says that there are five things that you can, you have a right to protect yourself from. One is your life. If somebody wants to take away the life, then you have a right to defend yourself. Somebody wants to take away your money, your home, you have a right to protect that. Somebody attacks your honor. Somebody attacks your family. Somebody attacks your religion. That will persecute you and tell and force you to leave your religion. So in that case, you can defend yourself. أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَخْرَجُوكُمْ وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. So persecution is worse than killing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even here, the people of Makkah is attacking you. Try to avoid Masjid al-Haram. Masjid al-Haram is the sacred mosque where the Kaaba is. So that's the city of Kaaba. Is a protected city. It's called Al-Masjid Al-Haram, Al-Balad Al-Haram. Haram here means that which is has forbidden, to that is sacred. Forbidden to fight there, forbidden to violate its rules, because it's a sacred place. So that no fighting should be in the masjid, around the masjid, next to the masjid, in the city of Makkah. That is Balad al-Haram. This is a sacred town, and the Arabs recognized that. Even before Islam, they would not fight in Mecca. So Allah says, وَلَا تُقَاتِلُوهُمْ مِنْ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Do not fight them near the Masjid al-Haram, near the sacred mosque, unless they begin the fight there. If somebody attacks, somebody come into the Mecca and attack people, then those people should be attacked. Those should be removed from there. وَلَا تُقَاتِلُوهُمْ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ حَتَّى يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِيهِ فَإِنْ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوهُمْ. And if they fight you there, then you kill them. كَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ. This is the recompense of those who reject faith, who deny the sacredness of the places. So fighting is not to convert them. Fighting is because they are fighting. Fighting is because they are expelling people from their homes. If they want to follow their way of shirk, they continue to follow the way of shirk. That is not the purpose. In Islam, it is not allowed to fight in order to convert somebody to Islam or to take away his property or her property. It is only to defend your rights and be very careful. But even then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنِنْ تَهَوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. If they stop, Allah will forgive them. So Allah is most merciful. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not that we are now because they fought, they fight you, so you have to keep on fighting. And people sometimes they say, enemies, we have to fight them to the end until we eliminate them, until we annihilate them. That's not the point. Islam does not say that. Allah says, if they stop, I mean, the reason fighting is that because they are fighting, not because you are fighting. You are fighting only to defend yourself. So if the enemy stops, stop. فَإِنْ تَهُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And maybe if they turn away, if they repent, and they say that we are not going to fight you, Allah may forgive them. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. So that is, the ayat should be taken in their context and should not be taken out. At some time people do that nowadays. They take this ayah number 191 and they say, some other ayat of the Quran and quote even half of the ayat. Allah says, "Uqtulum hasaqiftumum only." Kill them wherever you find them. And say, that's what Islam teaches. No, Islam does not teach that. Islam teaches this in the context of people who are attacking Muslims, and especially in Mecca. And then this ayah kept, so whole ayah should be read, and it should be read in its proper context. Text out of context becomes a pretext. It is just a accusation, abuse of the text. The text is here mentioning that this is أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ هَسُ أَخْرَجُوكُمْ. Expel them from where they expel you. وَالْفِتْنَةُ وَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَاتِلِ. The persecution was going on, and the persecution was worse than killing. And do not kill them at the Masjid al-Haram until they kill you, they kill you, until they attack you. And if they do that, then you have a right to attack them because of this aggression, because of this transgression, because of this denial of the rights. فَإِنْ تَهُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. If they desist, if they cease from this, Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. And it happened that many of those people who were fighting the Prophet ﷺ, when they stopped that and they repented at the time of Fath Mecca, they gathered before the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ asked them, what do you think I'm going to do to you? And these are the people who fought him for 22 years, and they killed many of his companions and his relatives. And Prophet ﷺ, when he had power over them, he said, "Izhabu fantum at-tulaqa. Go, you are all free. Do not do wrong. Go, you are free." So he forgave them. And then when they saw that kind of a response from the Prophet ﷺ, that kind of a, you know, the way that of kind behavior, kind treatment, many of them came back and they accepted Islam and they became Muslims. So continuing on that, war to stop aggression only. وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ فَإِنْ تَهُوا فَلَا عُدْوَانَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. الشهر الحرام بالشهر الحرام والحرمات قصاص. فمن اعتدى عليكم فاعتدوا عليه بمثل ما اعتدى عليكم. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And fight against them until there is no persecution and the religion is for Allah. If they cease, let there be no hostility except against the wrongdoers. the sacred month for the sacred month, and the retribution is for forbidden things. So whosoever transgresses against you, transgress against him in the like as he transgressed against you. But be mindful of Allah and know that Allah is with those who are mindful. And spend in the way of Allah and do not cast yourself into ruin by your own hands, and do good, for Allah loves those who do good. So fight them until there is no persecution. So persecution should stop. It is wrong to persecute people and to deny them their rights. So if they persecute you and you are not free to practice your religion, well, you have a right to defend yourself. Qatiluhum hatta la takuna fitna. Fight them until there is no persecution and deen is for Allah. That means you are able to practice your deen. You live by your faith and live in peace. You pray in peace, you fast in peace, you practice your religion in peace. If that is there, then there is no need to fight, because persecution is not allowed. If they stop, then there is no udwan, there is no aggression, there is no hostility, except against the wrongdoers. So wrongdoers are wrongdoers as long as they do aggression. And if they stop hostility and aggression, then there is no need to continue this fight. Udwan is only against the zalimin, not against the people of other faith or anything. That Islam does not say that. That because their faith is different, because their religion is different, so you can fight them. No. La udwana illa ala zalimin. Udwan only on those who do zulm. Zulm is oppression, injustice, wrong, evil. All of these things. So those are the people that have to be stopped from their udwan, from their aggression. And for that, you have a right to use force. Another thing is that there were some sacred months that they recognized. The Arabs before Islam, and this is actually coming from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they had four sacred months. And these months were recognized as the months of there is no fight. So Rajab, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, and Muharram. These are the months, 4 months that were known as sacred month. In Iddat al-Shuhur, and Surah At-Tawbah says, in Iddat al-Shuhur, isna ashara shahran fi kitabillah, minha arba'atun hurum, fala tazdamu fihinna anfusakum. According to Allah's ruling, there are 12 months. And after 12 months, there are four that are sacred months. And sacred months, Islam said that you should recognize that. So Arabs, before accepting Islam, they also had 4 months. And in these 4 months, they would not fight each other. They would stop fighting. People were able to travel freely, and especially those who wanted to come to Mecca for Hajj or for Umrah, they can freely travel at that time. And that was a good time in Arabia, because it was a peaceful time. And Islam retained that. And yes, we should continue doing that. So Shahr al-Haram or Shahr al-Haram, the sacred month for the sacred month. That means if people are observing the sacred months, yes, you should observe the sacred month. If somebody says this is the sacred month and we are not supposed to fight, you should do the same thing. He said, yes, this sacred month, we are not going to fight. So, Ashhar al-Haram, we Ashhar al-Haram. Reciprocate. Reciprocation is important. Hurumat al-Qisas. All the sacred things, all the forbidden things, yes, they should be taken in the same way. Equality is there in the Hurumat. In the retribution, there is for the forbidden thing. So, retribution according to the thing that people follow. فَمَنْ يَعْتَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا عَتَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ. So those who make transgression against you, you can do transgression against them, but only as much as they have done the transgression against you. You can see that what how many conditions are put there. It is only those who do the transgression, and exactly in the same way as the other have done the transgression, don't go beyond that. And if you forgive, it is better. Wattaqullah, but be mindful of Allah, because Allah is with those who are mindful. As the Quran says in another place, jazaa'u sayyatin sayyatun misluha faman 'afa wa aslaha fajr Allah. The retaliation for the evil is same way, likewise, but those who forgive and those who amend, they will receive the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here it is also said, فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ. Those who transgress against you, you transgress against them in the like manner as the person transgress against you. But be mindful of Allah and know that Allah is with those who are mindful. الشهر الحرام بالشهر الحرام. Yes, recognize the شهر الحرام. Recognize the sacred months. And sacred months has to be done by both sides. It is not because you recognize a month sacred and other person come and attack you. No, a person should not take advantage of that. You should not go and attack other people in the sacred month. Others should also observe the same way. Because all hurumat, all the things that are forbidden, they have a law of equality in that. And then in the ayah number 195, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And spend in the way of Allah and do not cast yourself into ruin by your own hands. And do good, for Allah loves those who do good. So, infaq fi sabilillah, spending in the way of Allah for the cause of defense. So defending requires expenditure. Because the equipment, the weapons have to be purchased, people should have horses and camels and all those things. They will need that. So that needs certain charity. And give charity. Anfiqu fi sabilillah. Just as you give charity to help the poor and the needy in a similar way, you can give some charity to defend yourself and defend your country, you will defend your people. And do not allow yourself to be killed by others. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not say, let the enemy come and attack us and kill us. You have a right to correct yourself, to defend yourself. To defend yourself. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. By your own action, by your own behavior, do not do that. So precautions are very important. If there is a disease, there is an epidemic, protect yourself from that. Don't say Allah will protect us. Yes, Allah will protect you, but you also have to do certain, take some action. So if you are sick, take medicine. Or protect yourself so that you don't get sick. In a similar way, if the society is sick and there are some people who may attack you, you have a right to protect yourself. You have the right to take precautions. Because don't allow yourself to be killed by your inaction, by your laziness, or by not making sacrifice. أَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Make sacrifices to protect yourself. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't allow yourself to be killed by your own hands. وَأَحْسِنُوا. And do good. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So doing good in every situation. And try to correct things in the right way, in the good way. Because Allah loves that. Allah does not like zalimin. Allah does not like those who do wrong. Inna Allah ma'al muttaqin. You see that in the end of every verse, there is a reminder. Inna Allah ma'al muttaqin. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. Inna Allah la yuhibbul zalimin. Allah does not like the zalimin, the transgressors. Allah does not like. Allah likes those who are conscious of Him. Allah likes those who do good things. So these are important points that were given at the time in that context to have the safety of the way, so that people, when they go to perform Hajj and Umrah, the place is safe and nobody is attacked, and people can do that in peaceful manner. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the rules of Hajj. وَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ فَإِنْ أُحْصِرْتُمْ فَمَسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَجِ وَلَا تَحْلِقُوا رُؤُوسَكُمْ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْهَدْيُ مَحِلَّهُ فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ بِهِ أَذًى مِنْ رَأْسِهِ فَفِدْيَةٌ مِنْ صِيَامٍ أَوْ صَدَقَةٍ أَوْ نُسُكٍ فَإِذَا أَمِنْتُمْ فَمَنْ تَمَتَّعَ بِالْعُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْحَجِّ فَمَا اسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْهَدْيِ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ تِلْكَ عَشَرَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَهْلُهُ حَاضِرِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. So this ayah, ayah number 196, gives some specific rules for Hajj and Umrah. Umrah can be done at any time during the year, but Hajj is at a specific time. That is in the month of Dhul-Hajjah, especially from the 8th of Dhul-Hajjah until the 12th of Dhul-Hajjah, and the 9th day of Dhul-Hajjah is the main day of Hajj. That is the day of Arafah. So Allah says, complete the Hajj and Umrah in the service of Allah. But if you are prevented from completing it, send an offering for sacrifice, such as you may find, and do not shave your heads until the offering reaches the place of sacrifice. And if any of you is ill or has an ailment in his scalp necessitating shaving, he should, in compensation, either fast or feed the poor or offer sacrifice. And when you are in peaceful condition again, if any of you wishes to continue the Umrah to the Hajj, he must make an offering such as he can afford. But if he cannot afford it, he should fast 3 days during the Hajj and 7 days on his return, making 10 days in all. This is for those whose household is not in the precincts of the sacred mosque, and fear Allah and know that Allah is strict in punishment. So some rules are given here related to Hajj and Umrah. First of all, complete the Hajj and Umrah for the sake of Allah. If somebody leaves his home, put on ihram for Hajj, but then prevented for some reason, then one should make sacrifice and to make an offering, and then release himself from ihram. Or sometimes people will say that in the niyyah, in the intention itself, they say that I make the intention for Hajj, or I make the intention for Umrah, unless I am stopped or prevented. If somebody has made that intention, then in that case, they can get off without making a sacrifice. But if it's not otherwise, you have to make a sacrifice, because you made an Umrah, intention for Umrah, and now you have to complete Umrah. But since you are not completing the Umrah, then make sacrifice. And sacrifice the shaving of the head, removing the hair of the head for men, it is required, but this is only after sacrifice is done. So once sacrifice is done, then you make sacrifice, and otherwise you wait until the sacrifice is done. Unless somebody is sick or had some problem in his scalp, and because of that, he needs to remove the hair. So in that case, one can do that. Sometimes because of sickness, one may have to shave, or because of some problem, one has to shave. Then in that case, fidya. Fidya is some compensation. So fast or give some sadaqah or make a sacrifice. So this is some small amount of some few fasts or some sadaqah or some sacrifice. And when you are safe, then you can make Umrah and Hajj. So if somebody make Umrah and Hajj both, at the same time. That is, go and perform Umrah and then make Hajj. That's called Hajj Tamattu. Then they make have to make a sacrifice. Sacrifice a lamb, or people can participate with others in the sacrifice of cow or camel. So Allah says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ. If somebody cannot afford it, then fast for 3 days during the Hajj time, and 7 days come back, and you come back home. And in this way, you complete 10 days. So there are 10 days of fast instead of sacrifice. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَهْلُهُ حَاضِرِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. This is for those who are not of the people of Mecca. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Because the people of Mecca don't do Umrah. The people of they don't do Hajj Tamattu. They do Hajj Ifrad. And so for them, there is no sacrifice. If Hajj Ifrad has no sacrifice. فذلك لمن لم يكن أهله حاضر المسجد الحرام واتقوا الله وعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب. And know that Allah is severe in punishment for those who violate His rules. The rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be taken seriously. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we follow His rules in our life and also understand the spirit of Islam, the spirit of peace, but at the same time, there is a right to defend oneself in the right way without any aggression, without any transgression. So if you have any questions related to what we discuss, let us know, inshallah. Then you can see how we can discuss and answer those questions.
Dr. Siddiqui, thank you. We were talking about Hajj. Is there any special merit to performing the Hajj more than once? Or should we follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and just make it once?
One Hajj is, of course, for those who can afford it. If somebody has enough means for journey and also healthy to undertake that journey, then it is obligatory to perform one Hajj. And then after that, other Hajj becomes nafil. It's a voluntary Hajj. There is a great reward in that, yes, if somebody does that. But again, in the nawafil, you have to see your priorities. If there is a family is in need, there are other people who are in need, and one is just making Hajj after Hajj and neglecting his own family, neglecting the many poor people, then of course that means one is not understanding the Islamic concept of priorities. Priorities are there. So take care of your family, take care of your relative, take care of your neighbors, take care of people who are in need. And if you want to perform Hajj after that, you can do that. So it is an act of blessing to perform Hajj, Nafl Hajj, but not at the expense of denying the needs of other people.
And the matter of shaving the head until the sacrifice, we go with various Hajj agencies and groups. How do we know when the sacrifice has taken place?
One has to make to see that this is a trustworthy group and they are going to do that. Otherwise, there are agencies of Islamic Development Bank and some other groups in Mecca. They have their booths around the Haram in Mecca and Medina, and one can go and buy the coupons from there. There's a coupon for sacrifice. Pay the amount of money that they're supposed to be paid, and then they give you a receipt, and they perform the sacrifice. And they are quite trustworthy in that. They do that. They do it during the time the sacrifice should be made, that is in Ayyam al-Tashriq. And then the meat is collected and packed, and they have flights that go to poor areas in different part of the world, in Africa, in Asia, and other places where people are in need, and they distribute that meat among the people. Because if the Hajj, if they go and make sacrifices, they will not be able to use that meat themselves. In the earlier times, people used to make sacrifice and they bring their meat to their tents and dry it and cook it and then bring it home. But now you cannot do that. So it is that meat, instead of spoiling it, instead of wasting it, it is good that give this to a company. That company has maintained, and they have a system to do that. And then the money and the meat reaches to the people. So it is very important that sacrifice should be done, but sacrifice should not be wasted.
So Dr. Siddiqui, is it better to have the sacrifice done in other countries where perhaps there's hunger or famine, people who don't get to eat meat all year round?
There are two types of sacrifices. One is the sacrifice done by the Hajis, the people who are making the pilgrimage. They are required to make sacrifice in Mina. Mina is the place where the sacrifice is done. So this is only for the Hujjaj, for the pilgrims. Now the Muslims around the world at the time of Eid al-Adha, they make sacrifices also, because the sacrifice is not only for the Hujjaj, it is also for other Muslims who can afford it. They should make sacrifice. And that sacrifice, they can do it in their countries, or if they find that the other places are much more in need, they can send the money and make somebody as their wakil, and their representative can perform that. And this is done by the various charitable organizations. They collect the funds, and then they make sacrifice in parts of the world where there are hunger, where there are poor people, where there is a great need for people to have food, and especially the meat. In many places, people are not able to have meat. So it is good to have to give the money, but make sure that the agency is trustworthy agency, and they are not abusing the money. So that should be done. Yes, there are many agencies nowadays, especially because Eid al-Adha is coming close. It will be at the end of the month of July, and people can make the arrangement from now. Here in America, we may not really need that much as the people need in other parts of the world, where there is hunger, where there is difficulty, and the poverty in the area. So that is only for the non-Hujjaj, for the common people who are not making Hajj. But we also participate with the Hujjaj at that time, that we also make sacrifices, even though we are not at Hajj. But the Hujjaj, they make sacrifice only in Mina. And then from Mina, the meat is taken to other places.
Dr. Siddiqui, just for the sake of clarity for one of our listeners, so the shaving of the head before he knows the sacrifice has taken place, for sure, before he knows for sure the sacrifice has taken place, how is that? Is that acceptable?
Making a sacrifice before
the shaving of the head, or if we don't completely know for sure whether the sacrifice has taken place.
Well, once people have been to Arafat and then Muzdalifah, that is on the ninth day of Dhul-Hijjah, people go to Arafah, and then during the evening after sunset they leave Arafah and they spend the time in Muzdalifah. Then they come from Muzdalifah to Mina on the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah. Now, when they are in Mina on the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah, they are on the 10th, 11th, and 12th. There are three things that they have to do. One of them is that they make sacrifice. And the second thing is that they trim or they shave the hair of their head. And this is only for men. Women only trim some part of the hair. And after that, they take off their ihram and take a shower. And then they go and perform the tawaf al-ifada. So these are the three things that they do. But if somebody has changed this order, that instead of making the sacrifice, they shave their head, or instead of they make, as it is said, man qaddama wa akhar, this is something before or something later, something after that. So the order is not required. but it is better to do it, but it's not required. There is no haraj, there is nothing wrong with that. So once you have done that, once you have been to Arafah, once you have been to Muzdalifah, now you are in Mina. In Mina, you can do it whatever you want. You can do it, you can take a shower, change your clothes, and then after that, you go and make sacrifice, or before that. All of these things can be done. But this is only for the Hujjaj.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Siddiqui. Just a quick reminder that ISOC continues to offer the 5 daily prayers. And do please remember to register, go through the guidelines. And of course, we are at this time offering 2 prayers for each for the Jummah. Follow all the steps to register for the Jummah. You do have to register each Jummah, by the way. And you can register by visiting prayer.isocmasjid.org or simply use the link in the weekly newsletter. But do please remember to follow all the steps until you receive a confirmation. And Sheikh Shahid Ali will be offering a 12-week online class on Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith, starting from July 12, each Sunday from 10:45 a.m. to 12 noon. Sheikh Shahid will be offering a discourse on belief, worship, and spirituality. The Zoom link and all other necessary information can be found on the website, isocmasjid.org. And to stay updated, of course, follow us on ISOC Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Dr. Siddiqui, may we join you for closing dua?
May Allah bless you all. May Allah protect you, protect your families, and keep us on the right path. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-'afwa wal-'afiya wal-mu'afata ad-da'imah والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء. اللهم احفظنا من كل وباء. اللهم احفظنا من كل داء. اللهم احفظنا يا الله. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا واختم بالصالحات أعمالنا. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.